Good morning. We have only 2 weeks now until we begin using the new translation for our Mass here at Christ the King and throughout all the English-speaking world. And it's a very big blessing to us. We've talked about some of those changes and their meaning. We've talked specifically about the need to prepare, first of all, the need to arrive at Mass early, not late, and the need to dress our best to create an environment for worship. We talked about the greetings and the exchanges with the priest, that when the priest says, "The Lord be with you," you will say, "And with your spirit," not "and also with you." "And with your spirit," reflecting a deeper spiritual dimension to this liturgy. And if you missed any of these homilies, they're all online, so you can catch up. And we talked about the penitential rite, the Gloria, last week the Creed. This week I would like to begin to talk about the second part of the Mass, and that is called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. The first part being the Liturgy of the Word, that's what we're doing right now. And then the second part, when we begin offertory, called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. And if you'll pull out those cards in your pew, you'll probably have to share with your neighbor, and open them up to the inside on the right-hand side column, you'll see it says, "Pray, brothers and sisters." This is your response, but this is what I'm going to say before it. Listen closely. "Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father." And then you say,
"May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all of his holy church."
And you'll notice there's not much change on your part, though we call it God's holy church, which it is, because it is in this church that you become holy. You become saints. But there is a significant change on the part of what the priest says. When he says, "My sacrifice and yours," you bring a sacrifice to this altar. And if you don't, then you're not going to get much out of Mass. We primarily do this at offertory time. And we do this through a sacrificial offering. For many of you, and I know because I've talked to you, it is difficult for you to tithe. To give 10%, it is a sacrifice. And you are offering God a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, what they would do is God asked Abraham and his descendants to bring the first and the best from their flock as a sacrifice. Keep in mind, they didn't trade so much in money back then as they did in animals and commodities, whether it was grain or an animal. God asks them to bring their first and their best and to give one-tenth. Is that what you are doing? I heard a Protestant pastor recently give a homily, and he said that when we do not give God our first and our best and give him 10%, we're stealing from him. And I thought, you know what? He's making a good point. Why? Because it's all God's to begin with. Everything that's created is just loaned to us, as the gospel indicates today. If you can't for some reason afford to put something in, put a note in. Put a little note to God in your basket. Maybe you want to sacrifice something else, a gift of prayer. Perhaps a gift of something that you probably should give up anyway, like a resentment you're feeling. Give God a sacrifice at this altar. It is not just the sacrifice that I offer. It's the sacrifice you offer too. The gifts of your time, your talent, and your treasure. You'll notice in the next dialogue, down in the right bottom corner of that inside, with something we've already talked about. Let's practice this. We call this the preface dialogue. "The Lord be with you."
"And with your spirit."
"Lift up your hearts."
"Lift them up to the Lord."
"Let us give thanks to the Lord our God."
"It is right and just."
This term right and just is translated from the Latin dignum et justum est, and it means that it is fitting and appropriate to give thanks. And even stronger than that, it is just. In fact, it means it's a matter of justice, that it's right or wrong if we don't give God thanks for what he has. Last weekend, after Mass, I hurried over to the east side of town, and I went to my brother's house. My nephew Isaac had dutifully reminded me that last year I took him out for his birthday, and that it was his birthday again, and so that I needed to take him out shopping for a birthday present again. I really thank him for reminding me. I had given him $20 for his birthday, so I came in and I said, "Well, Isaac, do you have your $20 that I gave you for your birthday? Because I'm thinking the kid's probably going to try to milk me for another 20 bucks." And he says, "Yes," and I said, "Go get it." So he goes and runs to his room, and he comes back with, I kid you not, a porcelain pig. I didn't know they still made these things. And he quickly, and I guarantee you quickly, removed the plug from its tummy. And we looked inside, and he had about $22 in there. And I said to him, I said, "Well, you've got about $22 in there. How much do you want to spend?" And he said, he looked up at his dad, and then he looked back at me, and he says, "All of it." And I said, "Well, have you given some to God yet?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, then let's save $2 to give to God." You see, everything, even a birthday gift, you guys, is a blessing from God. The roof over your head, the car you drive, the clothes on your back. We sometimes forget that these things are all gifts from God. And the beauty of it, guys, is that when we offer God the little we have, even if it's a sacrifice, and I guarantee you, for my little nephew Isaac, it was a sacrifice to know that where he thought he had $20 to spend, he now had $18. But remember that God always blesses abundantly. That kid ended up with an $80 slot car set, so God always blesses in abundance, okay? But seriously, it is a matter of justice. Meaning, just like in the legal system, it is right or wrong for us whether we give thanks or don't give thanks. And we do that by making a sacrificial offering to God. Next, you'll notice on the back of your cards the Sanctus. And you'll know that this hasn't changed much, but let's go over it together. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This prayer and this praise of God comes directly from Scripture. In Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, it says this: "I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne. Seraphim," which are a type of angel, "were stationed above. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," they cried one to the other. "All the earth is filled with his glory." And it was also in Luke 2:13 that the angels appeared to the shepherds announcing the birth of Jesus and it says that a multitude of the heavenly host appeared. The God of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, is the God of the angels. The God of a host of angels, a multitude of angels. Angels that are doing battle for you, for your soul. The prayer is completed in the words from Matthew 21:9, that when Jesus entered Jerusalem before he suffered his passion, that they cried out as he entered in, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." This prayer of the Sanctus, or the holy, 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 reminds us that all creatures, both in heaven and on earth, angels and men, owe a gift of thanksgiving to God. In fact, the word Eucharist, if you were to translate it into English, means thanksgiving. It is in this Eucharist that we're giving thanks to God. What are you thanking Him for? One of the things that you do not have on your card, because they are the words of the priest, are the changes in the words of consecration. When I hold that chalice in my hands, I currently say, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." What I will say beginning in 2 weeks is this: "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." Two things I want to point out in that, those words of consecration to you. The word chalice. Now, I'm thinking that I'm sitting there with Jesus at the Last Supper. I don't think he's holding this fancy gold thing in his hands, is he? So I'm wondering, why does the church choose to use this word chalice? Well, number one, it's the word used in Scripture. It's the word used in Scripture. Plus, it also denotes, a chalice denotes a special type of cup. Something that has been set aside for a purpose. We would not, in normal circumstances, we would not pour that wine into just any old cup and consecrate it. But we set aside a special cup for the purpose of something special. And guys, that's a model for our lives, that we set aside things as special to remind us of the specialness of what we're doing. This is why I ask you to dress up when you come to church, why we decorate the church, why we use sacred vessels, why we use even language in the church that is different from the language we use out in the world, why we use sacred music and not secular music. Because brothers and sisters, what we're doing here is special, is precious, and is set aside from everything else for a unique purpose, just as you are. The other change you'll notice is that where we used to say "for all," we now say "for many." This is a more accurate translation of the Scripture. Isaiah 53:12 prophesies that the Messiah would take away, quote, "the sins of many," end quote. And Christ himself at the Last Supper, when he said that this was his blood, said that it was shed for, quote unquote, "many." Does that mean that Jesus did not die for all? It's right there in the Bible. But yet the Bible also says this in Corinthians 5:15. "He indeed died for all, so that those who live might not longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." He did die for all. But brothers and sisters, this more accurate translation of what Jesus himself said reflects the fact that though Jesus died for every human being who ever existed and ever will exist, it's not automatic. Salvation is not automatic. It is a gift. It is a free gift, but it does require your response. That's why I emphasize so much in this Mass your participation, your response, your participation at offertory, and that you bring a sacrifice to this altar. Because salvation is not something automatic. It is a gift offered for you to respond to. What does all of this mean for you? It means that you have something to offer Jesus. It may be little, it may be small. But if it comes from your heart, and if it is truly a sacrifice that you offer God, then he puts it on this altar and offers it to his Father. That sacrifice is born out of an acknowledgement. You must first know that every good thing comes from him, that nothing is yours, and that the proper response is one of thanksgiving, that is, Eucharist. And the greatest of gifts, guys, the greatest gift you have received is that blood poured out for you. Precious. Set aside for a purpose. Unique and holy, just as you are.